Hello and welcome to Parenting for Prevention, tips and resources on raising healthy children in North Berkshire. This is a podcast of the Northern Berkshire Community Coalition, and I am Wendy Penner, Director of Prevention and Wellness here at the Coalition. And today we're talking about a very important health concern related to our youth, and that is the growing and exploding incidence of vaping by our youth. Every 2 years in Berkshire County, we do an assessment of youth health and risk behaviors called the Prevention Needs Assessment in partnership with schools across the county. And from that survey, what we learned is that in the last 2 years, we have seen, as many communities across the country have seen, a real explosion in the incidence of vaping by our youth. So according to the most recent data, 15% of eighth graders in North Berkshire reported vaping in the last 30 days when they were asked this in a survey, 33% of 10th graders and 36% of 12th graders. And certainly after decades of reducing youth smoking rates, this is a very concerning trend. So in today's podcast, we're going to be speaking with an expert in the field who's going to give parents and others who are concerned about the vaping epidemic the information and resources they need to be informed and to have really important conversations with the young people in their life. So thanks for joining us and stay tuned. We'll be right back. So I'm so happy that we're here today with Joyce Brewer, Program Manager from Berkshire AHEC for the Tobacco-Free Community Partnership. Thank you so much for being here with us, Joyce.
Well, thanks for having me.
We're here to get the facts about youth vaping in North Berkshire, and I know that you, as the tobacco lady, are an expert on this topic and have worked with many stakeholders from across Berkshire County over on this issue over the last, how long?
3 years.
3 years. Fantastic. So we have so much interesting stuff to cover. I've referenced the local data about what we're seeing here in North Berkshire about the real explosion of young people vaping. Is that similar to what you're seeing out in the field across the county?
Absolutely. I think that since the introduction of the Juul in particular, we've seen a real big explosion in youth vaping.
So can we just start out with a little bit of basic stuff? E-cigarettes, vaping, what is that?
Okay, e-cigarettes are basically a battery and liquid. And what the battery does is it heats up the liquid, and then the liquid forms an aerosol, and then you would just inhale the aerosol.
Okay, so why did this get started? Where did this whole vaping thing come from?
Well, historically, if you look at the whole development of e-cigarettes, they were originally created by people who were very interested in having a safer form of cigarettes, so to speak, for people in their life that were traditional smokers. When you look way back, I mean, they first hit the United States in particular, somewhere around 2010 is where you really saw the rise in e-cigarette use. And then the Juul was created in 2015, and we saw even a more rapid rise in the use of e-cigarettes, in particular the Juul.
Mm-hmm. And the Juul is a big factor behind the youth vaping explosion?
It definitely is. A lot of our youth have said that it is the iPhone of the e-cigarette business.
Great, great. Well, so can you say a little bit more about the Juul? Because it does seem like that's a big lightning rod in many of these conversations about youth vaping. So what is the Juul and why are so many people talking about it and concerned about it?
Well, as I said before, the Juul was originally created by two students in California. The one student was trying to find a quote unquote safer way for his father to smoke or vape, as we now call it. And they are really technologically advanced. They're very small. They're about the size of a flash drive. Every pod contains roughly a pack of cigarettes worth of nicotine, roughly. And they are easy to use. They're easy to put away in your pocket or in a bag or whatever. So they're not the traditional big tanks that everyone associates with e-cigarettes. So they're very easy to put away. And they don't have the traditional cloud that most people see and equate with vape devices. It's smaller and it comes in a wide variety of flavors, which is really one reason why the youth might be attracted, because we know youth are attracted to cheap, sweet, and easy to get. And Juul really fits all three of these. It comes in flavors like mango and fruit medley and mint, menthol, Virginia tobacco, and they come in a variety of other flavors that have come and gone across the years as Juul has gotten more popular.
Now, I know there's also a certain coolness factor around this device, like it's a cool techie-looking thing. Do you want to say anything about that?
It's very technologically advanced, and it's also small, and it looks like a thumb drive. If you were to walk by someone's computer, you might see something sticking up that looks like a thumb drive. In reality, it probably is a Juul that's being charged.
Right. Now, another thing that I understand from you, that I've learned from you about the Juul device and why it's so popular, has to do with the nicotine concentration of the vape fluid that comes in these pods. Could you say something about that and
Absolutely.
How that's particular to the Juul?
Well, right now it is one of the strongest on the market. And if you talk to youth about their Juuling or ripping, as they might say, they will say that they get a really quick buzz. And that's because the chemicals that are in the Juul have been created to cross the blood-brain barrier and give a bigger bang for their buck when you're talking about nicotine.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know that nicotine is highly addictive, and we all know that we really are trying to make sure that we educate people in that nicotine does have its issues when youth are vaping.
Mm-hmm. And if I understand correctly, one thing that's in particularly like insidious about the Juul is with other e-cigarettes, maybe you can get your vape fluid with decreasing levels of nicotine, whereas with the Juul, that's not the case.
Right. The Juul comes in one strength only. And if you look historically at nicotine replacement therapy, which is often you see people use patches or gums or lozenges, the whole reason that program works is because you gradually step down in the amount of nicotine that you receive through whether you use the patch or whatever. With Juul, you can't do that. It comes in one strength and one strength only. Yes, you're correct.
Great. And I can't remember, forgive me if we already talked about this, but Juul's kind of dominating the e-cigarette market, right?
Absolutely. Right now, they have approximately 77% of the market, and they also joined forces with Altria, which is one of the larger tobacco companies, and Altria has purchased roughly around 34-35%. So that shows us that Big Tobacco is really taking an interest in the e-cigarette trade.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so everything that you are saying to me really tells me that this is all about getting people addicted to nicotine rather than about helping people get off of nicotine.
It's all about addicting the next generation.
So now let's talk about this for a minute. So is nicotine really harmful? I mean, it's not causing cancer, right? What is concerning? I know a lot of what you hear is it's just vapor, that this isn't really actually harmful. So what about the health impacts of vaping for our youth?
All right, first and foremost, we have to understand that the teenage brain continues to develop until they're probably about 25. I know we all said when we were growing up that we were adults when we were 18. Well, technically, the brain doesn't look at it that way. So therefore, we want to push out the age that people would even initiate nicotine, because studies have shown repeatedly that, you know, well over 90% of people start before they're 18, and then you'll pick up some more percentage. But if you can hold out until you're 25, chances of becoming, you know, a smoker or using the vape or becoming addicted to nicotine drop greatly.
Very good. So when you're vaping, is it just nicotine? What else is being vaped, and what are the potential health consequences of that?
Well, right. There's a myth out there, especially amongst our youth, that it's just water. It's not. It's technically called an aerosol because it's a mixture of chemicals, propylene glycol, vegetable glycerin, diacetyl, which has been linked to popcorn lung. We all love our microwave popcorn, and we all like a butter taste. And in popcorn factories, it's the diacetyl that's put on it that gives it its buttery taste, so that when you pop it, you get your buttery taste. And they found that people who worked in microwave popcorn factories were developing what's called popcorn lung. And basically, it's damage to the finest airways in your lungs, and it's irreversible. So it's another reason why we need to look at these chemicals carefully, because we really shouldn't be inhaling them. So we've also found that in a lot of liquids, there are heavy metals, there are volatile organic compounds, there's just all sorts of things. So it's not just water. It's got a whole host of things and a long list of possible chemicals. Another thing that we need to be concerned about is the fact that there are no regulations covering liquids, e-liquids. So you could have your Uncle Joe in a garage mixing chemicals together that would not be healthy for anyone. Or you have to understand that since there are no regulations, no one is currently looking at what exactly is in there. Is it 0% nicotine? Is it 5% or more? So you have no idea because there's no quality control.
Right, and I know you have said that in your research, you've gone out and purchased vape juice that says there's no nicotine on it on the label, but then when you actually look at the ingredients, there is, so that there's juice that when it gets tested, the label might say no nicotine, but then there is. Can you say anything about that?
Right. Well, we have. I mean, there are people who cross the state who do my position, and we've had several of them go out and buy liquid products for the e-cigs, and they will turn around and the first ingredient on the back of the label is nicotine. So that goes back to, because they're not regulated, there's no quality control over what exactly you're getting. And then if you have your uncle in the garage building it, you have no idea of even knowing the strength of the nicotine that's in the product that's being made. And we do know that there are a lot of people out there that are making their own.
Great. That gives me an opportunity to mention that we also know that people might be vaping other substances. There's instructions online. There's a whole online community around vaping. Certainly vaping THC is something that I've heard about. Anything else you want to say about what other things people might be vaping?
Right. Well, the big one is THC, and we do know that they are putting it in the Juul.
Great. Yeah. Thank you. Well, I'm just going to take a break for a moment, and then we're going to come back because I want to talk with you about, you know, what can parents do and what should you do if your kid is vaping, if your child is vaping, what are the resources that are available? So we're just going to take a short break and we'll be right back. Again, you are listening to Parenting for Prevention, Tips and Resources on Raising Healthy Children in North Berkshire. And this is a podcast of the Northern Berkshire Community Coalition. We are located in North Adams, serving all of Northern Berkshire County, and the mission of the coalition is empowering the Northern Berkshire region to enhance the quality of life through our efforts at connecting, convening, and supporting all facets of the community. And you can find us online at nbccoalition.org. Check it out. So welcome back, everyone. This is Wendy Penner from the Northern Berkshire Community Coalition, back here with Joyce Brewer, Program Manager for the Tobacco-Free Partnership at Berkshire AHEC, and we're talking about getting the facts about youth vaping in North Berkshire. So thanks again, Joyce, for being here.
Well, thanks.
So catching up, can you just say, are these vaping devices being marketed to kids? What is your perception of that?
Well, I think they are, because you're talking about they're technologically advanced, and if you remember back to your kids' teenage years, and especially my son, when the new phone came out, he had to have it right away, and these are technology advancement at its finest. They're also fairly inexpensive. If you look at the cost of a Juul pod, you're talking probably roughly around $4 a pod. A pack of cigarettes is $10, $12, depending where you buy them. They're sweet. They have all different kinds of flavors, which we briefly touched on before, as far as mango and mint and all the flavors that would attract kids. When a lot of the e-cigarette companies really started advertising, the youth were young, they were vivacious, they looked like they were having fun, so that, yeah, youth were generally attracted to them.
Mm-hmm. And how about this whole thing with the Juuls, like these marketing things with the skins, personalize your device, you know, frequent users can get certain more attractive devices.
Yeah, absolutely. There are a ton of skins out there. You can personalize your Juul. As you briefly touched on, if you buy a certain number, there are certain colors that are exclusive because you're such a good customer. Gold ones, for example.
Okay, so it's kind of, to me, it just reeks of big tobacco all over again with the marketing to the young people to get them addicted and have customers for life. And
absolutely.
I think, you know, when young people realize that, I think that can be an important part of prevention.
I think it is, yeah.
So you made reference a little bit to the cost, et cetera, but can you say something about how young people are getting these, how they're affording them?
Right. Well, first of all, I think kids have a lot more disposable income than I had when I was growing up. Let's face it, they do. A lot of them have their own jobs. So they can purchase them online. They can purchase them through a family friend who's willing to buy them, because you have to understand that people still believe that they're safer, but that doesn't mean that they're safe. And I think that's where the distinction comes in. I've heard in the state that parents will buy them thinking that they're safer and they would rather see them using them than their traditional cigarettes. So they're doing it through a wide variety of channels.
Great. Thank you. Now, I know there was recently an article in the Berkshire Eagle where we both had the opportunity to be interviewed talking about vaping in schools, but I'm sure not everyone who's listening had a chance to read that. So I know you've worked with many schools in Berkshire County. Can you say a little bit about what the schools are experiencing with respect to vaping and how they're responding to it?
Well, you know, I sit on a lot of wellness committees and other groups in the county that I try to get out in the county schools and give them information, and we also have the at getoutrage.org. The state has put together a toolkit for schools that they can go on and download and use, which has really useful information on the whole vaping thing. I don't think we're seeing anything worse in Berkshire County than across the nation. It's definitely a problem across the nation, and I know that schools are very concerned about it, and I know that they're trying to deal with the issue and also, you know, look at the whole youth addiction issue, because we have to go back and remember it's an addiction. Mm-hmm. And if you have youth that have to Juul at every class or in class or several times a day, then you have an addiction. And I think it's important to distinguish addiction and the discipline that goes with it. And I think schools are definitely struggling with that.
Absolutely. And so, yeah, just to kind of flesh out what you're saying, many of our schools in Berkshire County and in North Berkshire County are really struggling because kids are vaping during the day. It's primarily this Juul device that they're seeing. And the reason that they're doing it often is because they are addicted to nicotine.
Absolutely.
Do you want to say anything more about why you think the kids are doing it? I know that's one thing that, you know, in addition to, well, it's the flavors, et cetera, and I think people are like, is this, who are the kids who are most likely to be doing it?
Well, I think that the whole thing with Juuls and e-cigarettes is very unique in that, you know, I think if you look back in history, it was always those kids that, you know, you get this James Dean issue image with rolling up the cigarettes. And now we have to understand that this current epidemic, as our Surgeon General has called it, crosses all groups of kids. You have athletes that are Juuling. You have just any socioeconomic status. It's widespread, and that's what makes it so unique.
Yeah, and I know that in the Berkshire Eagle article, they interviewed a student from one of the high schools, and that student was saying something I've heard a lot, which is, you know, kids are anxious, kids have anxiety.
Absolutely.
And this is a way that they feel it's helping them cope with and relieve their anxiety and manage their anxiety. And unfortunately, it brings up a whole other set of challenges for them, because if you get caught vaping in school, there can be very serious consequences.
Yes.
So what if you are a parent who's concerned about this topic? How can you get more information?
Okay, there's a couple of things that I think are really important. Number one is I think all parents need to educate themselves. As I said earlier, kids are they have such a wealth of information in their worlds. And I think that parents need to start with educating themselves, and they can do that by going to a website called getoutrage.org. There's a whole special section there just for parents, and there are several publications that they can order that talk about the questions, and they give answers to them, like what's a vape and what's in it, and you know, even how should they talk to their youth. So I think it's important to start with education. Then I think it's really important to have a conversation with a pediatrician. If you definitely know that your child is vaping, or you suspect it, I think having that conversation with a pediatrician just lets them know that there's something going on in that youth's life that really needs to be, they need to address it.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have to remember, it's an addiction.
Mm-hmm.
So those are two things that I think is important. Another thing is the mass.gov/vaping released a youth campaign, which I think is absolutely phenomenal because it was vetted by youth, they checked it out, they made sure that it resonated with them. And that information is also available on not only that website, which is mass.gov/vaping, but it's also available on getoutrage.org. So arm yourself with the facts and then have the conversation. Don't be afraid to start the conversation early, because chances are maybe your little one saw a pod and wanted to know. And I think this, along with all other kind of youth education, is have it age specific and age appropriate. And then have the conversation. Have you seen this? Have you seen anyone doing it? You know, and it's not, we don't want them to say, well, yeah, I saw so-and-so in Tattle, but yeah, I've seen someone vaping and I want to know more about it, because chances are they will ask, what is it? And why are people doing it? So have the conversation early and have it often. And it's never too late to have the conversation. If I'm driving down the road and I'm taking my son to soccer practice, ask a question and see. Starting the conversation is always the most important thing, I think.
That sounds fantastic. That's great advice. Certainly advice that I'm always giving. I know the American Academy of Pediatrics says you should be talking to your children by age 9 about alcohol. And if you're not talking to them, that doesn't mean that your child isn't consuming information and forming attitudes just by what they're noticing, because children are so observant. So great advice. So as we're finishing up, is there anything that we haven't touched on? Any last points that you want to say? And would you like to share your contact information in case anyone would like to reach out to you to find out how they can bring you into their organization or get any additional questions answered?
Right. I think it's most important to take out of here. There's a couple things. I'll try to make it brief. But number one, I think people need to understand that vaping and cigarettes might be different products, but they contain the same. They contain nicotine. They're addictive. They have chemicals. So I think that's important. It's important to dispel the myth that they're necessarily safe or safer, because they have their own. Second thing is educate yourself and don't be afraid to have the conversation. And start it often and talk often, talk early, because I think that our kids are open to the facts, and I think that's important. I'm available to do talks to parent groups or social groups or any group that's interested in finding out more. I can be reached at jbrewer@berkshireahec.org, or they can call 413-236-2145.
Fantastic. Thank you. This has been a real education for me, and I hope for our listeners. And I appreciate you so much taking the time to be here today and all that you do to educate our community about the concerns about vaping and about smoking cessation and prevention. And hopefully we'll have you back sometime, and we'll talk about how these concerning numbers are moving in a more positive direction.
Absolutely. Thank you, and I really appreciate all the work that Northern Berkshire Community Coalition does for the community.
Thanks so much. So this is Wendy Penner from the Northern Berkshire Community Coalition, and thanks for joining us. Again, you are listening to Parenting for Prevention, Tips and Resources on Raising Healthy Children in North Berkshire. And this is a podcast of the Northern Berkshire Community Coalition. We are located in North Adams, serving all of Northern Berkshire County, and the mission of the Coalition is empowering the Northern Berkshire region to enhance the quality of life through our efforts at connecting, convening, and supporting all facets of the community. And you can find us online at nbccoalition.org. Check it out. Again, you are listening to Parenting for Prevention, Tips and Resources on Raising Healthy Children in North Berkshire. And this is a podcast of the Northern Berkshire Community Coalition. We are located in North Adams, serving all of Northern Berkshire County, and the mission of the Coalition is empowering the Northern Berkshire region to enhance the quality of life through our efforts at connecting, convening, and supporting all facets of the community. And you can find us online at nbccoalition.org. Check it out.